This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning, Bahamas. It is Thursday, the 22nd of April, 2021. Today is World Earth Day, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. This show today is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue, and I want to remind you to check out their Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. Grab your young tech-savvy people and tell them sit with you and let's go through this thing until you find all the information that's available or that you need. This is a good thing. Let's pay attention to it. So today is World Earth Day. I'm going to talk a bit about World Earth Day. In fact, today is going to be sort of an open line. I'm talking about the vaccine protocols, if they exist, if there is such a thing. Talking about Earth Day, talking about the soon upcoming national debates. We're talking about the child abuse stats for the last 12-month period of, January 2020 to February 2021. And we're talking about manifestation of a housing crisis in Grand Bahama. That's what I want to call it. Manifestation of a housing crisis. I don't want to call it manifestation of extreme and severe dysfunction and possible incompetence in the DRA. That would be, you know, unkind. Let's just keep calling it a housing crisis. But this morning, my first guest, before we get into the calls and the texts and the conversation about what's in the paper today, my guest today is Dr. Chris Curry. Good morning, Dr. Curry. You still there, Chris? Okay, one second, he'll be here. And I've invited Dr. Curry today to discuss the national political debate series preceding the general election. This is a partnership with the University of the Bahamas, and they made an announcement of this grand event, this grand series of debates last week. I was unable to get Dr. Curry on the show last week, and I booked him for today, knowing it's Earth Day. But to be honest, I wanted him to talk about Earth Day too. He didn't know it at the time that I invited him. But it turns out that he is a part of the first panel for the Earth Day event being hosted by UB and the Cat Island Conservation Institute that we discussed yesterday. And the day before, so he can only be here for the first half of the show. Morning, Dr. Curry.
Morning, Erin Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I hope you heard me saying that just now, tattling on myself. From the last time I heard you speak around majority rule issues, I said, I got to bring this boy on for Earth Day because some of the work that you were doing, I think, is in relation to natural resources, pre-majority rule, and sort of post-majority rule. Is that true?
That's absolutely correct. And I'm proud to be a partner in celebrating Earth Day. And of course, we're having a screening of the film that I was a part of, directed by Lombardo Stubbs. And, you know, in the background, sort of conducting the orchestra was Nikita Shiel Roll, my Cat Island comrade. So I'm happy to be a part of that project.
Eagle Ray Empress, good morning, wherever you are. Right. So let's get right into the discussion about the debates, though, right? And the first question, the official media announcement says, announcement of a partnership to facilitate national political debate series. Well, I remember in the 2017 debate series organized by UB, I'm not sure if we even got the leaders of the two biggest political parties to come to the stage. So who is UB partnering with in this 2022 debate series?
We are partnering with Verizon and their partners, their broadcast team, which would be Eyewitness News. Okay. And we signed an MOU exactly a week ago today. And that MOU is significant because it means that we have on paper our partnership moving forward. And it's a tremendous opportunity because as you've already stated, when we did this 4 years ago, we had town hall meetings and we did in fact have FNM and PLP on the platform with the other parties at that time, but we did not have a nationally televised broadcast with those town hall meetings. So this is going to be different in that respect. There's another significant difference which has to do with polling, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Okay. So I guess one of the first questions I have for you is, what are the criteria for participation, right? So Erin Green may jump up and start the Chani party next month. It's my birthday month, and, you know, I receive in blessings in that month, so I may have enough money for my $400 deposit. Will I be allowed to participate in this debate series?
Well, one of the things that my colleague, Ava Turnquest, is doing is she's actually checking with the parliamentary registrar to make sure that the parties that we've invited are in fact registered. And beyond that, you know, you need to have ratified candidates. You need to have a party presence in the Bahamas. So one person who start a party tomorrow will probably not get on the stage. We want to have ratified parties with a presence. So I'll tell you that right now we are intending to have in our first debate, which is scheduled for May 4th, it's going to be focused on youth issues. Mm-hmm. We have eight participants. We have eight parties that are planning to be on that stage. And as I speak to you right now, I've been in conversation just before we came on air with Carl Kalmer, chairman of the FNM. I've been in conversation with leaders of the PLP. And they're getting very close to actually telling me who their youth debater is going to be. So it's not just a matter of whether they're going to participate or not. We're getting to the point where we actually need now to get the names of the persons who are going to be participating in the first debate. We have the buy-in of all these parties, all eight, FNM, PLP, DNA, BCP, BDM, KGM, Evolution Coalition with Lincoln Bain, People's Movement. We got them all.
Okay, that's great. So, I mean, I say that's great, but you said Lincoln's Movement, that's a coalition of independents. So
yes.
What about the regular independents? Because they ain't real independents. They like Chikchani independent. I got a little concerned at people who already not straight up with me, but that's an aside. What about the real independents?
Well,
is there a debate for them?
Right. There is a huge challenge that we're facing. Number one, we have a pandemic, obviously, and we're in our third wave. And so we have to be careful about social distancing. So, you know, when we mapped this out 5 weeks ago, we initially had intended to have a live audience in the PAC, the Performing Arts Centers, where the event is going to be held. But we now realize that we have to adhere to social distancing protocol, health protocols in general. Yeah. So we're going to only have probably 20 or less in the actual pack. These just be the aides or family members of the participating debaters.
Right.
And everything else is going to be done remotely. I say all of that because we only have room or space on our stage for eight debaters. And while we have the coalition of independents slotted in, we don't have actually physical room now to put someone else on the stage. We may have to have a separate debate with independents who are not aligned with that coalition.
We don't
want to leave anyone behind. We're very, very in tune to this being a very democratic process.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can't get the democratic process straight with your debates, how can we call our country's election democratic?
Yep, I agree. So I was going to ask you this question, who will be moderating, right? Because I imagine that the speakers would be very concerned that there's fairness and they're not presented with a moderator that may have a political bias, right? But then I realized, Chris, that really prioritizes the politicians in the process of this national debate. So while I do want to know who will be moderating the debate, I also want to know how will the public be able to participate and at what point? Like, will we be able to submit questions and topics, suggestions for debate pre-debate? Or is there a function where I could send my questions in on Facebook or to a number or text them to a number and they may be considered in the actual debate, live debate discussion?
You've asked some very good questions, and I can answer them all. So let me start with the moderators. The moderators are going to be Clint Watson and myself for the four debates.
Okay.
Clint, of course, is well recognized. I don't want to say I'm recognized, but some people do know me. So we're going to be the moderators. The second part is really addressing format. We are going to have what we call scripted questions. We're going to be having, there'll be three scripted questions for this first debate. And the scripted questions are questions that the parties are going to get in advance. We hope to get them to the parties by Friday. That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're just teasing out, looking at the grammar, copy editing, the three questions that we have selected already by committee. Then we're going to have focus groups around the Bahamas. We definitely have one in Grand Bahama. We're trying to determine where we're going to strategically locate the others, so it's not a Nassau-centric debate.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind the focus groups is you're going to have people who will be able to give audience-generated questions on the spot. Remember, we're being mindful of social distancing and health protocols. And so this is our way of addressing that, of having these smaller focus groups rather than large gatherings that allow for people to sort of participate, but more importantly, to have those audience-generated questions submitted and filtered through probably a Zoom platform to Clint and I as the moderators. So those scripted questions are going to be the ones they get in advance, but the spontaneous, on-the-spot, audience-generated questions, to me, that's really what makes a debate, because that forces the debaters to think on their feet and be able to respond quickly to a question generated in real time during the debate. And so Bahamians can look forward to a combination of both scripted and spontaneous questions fielded from the audience around the Bahamas in these focus groups, et cetera.
Absolutely. What is the access for the visually and hearing impaired?
Well, we're going to work on that.
Okay.
Our technical team is still working on that. But definitely, because it's going to be nationally televised, we're going to have, of course, there's going to be the visual. But we're going to look into whether we need someone to sign. And we're going to look into that seriously. Because, again, I want to underscore, if we cannot make our debates democratically aligned in terms of how we develop the debates and make them fair and impartial, then you know, what are we to say about the university and our ideals as a premier tertiary institution, but as a country that prides itself in democratic processes? At least that's what we say on paper, right?
Right.
So we're trying to do everything in a very democratic and equitable way, and that includes making sure that our hearing impaired and our disabled audience members are not disadvantaged.
Okay, so now tell me, what are the rules? And I say this, right? I'm proud to be well on my way to being an old curmudgeon, right? And I'm enjoying it. I won't be miserable and disgusting in my old age. And I was looking forward, you know, to seeing a debate where somebody tells somebody something they shouldn't say. But that's the old miserable me. What are the rules? What are the rules for this debate? Right.
So when we send the scripted questions to the participants by tomorrow, hopefully, we're also sending them our guidelines and rules, which are very detailed. I will just share with you some of the rules. For one, we have a rule that you have a 2-minute period in which to answer each question that is fielded, whether scripted or audience generated.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're also building in a 1-minute rebuttal that you're allowed. If someone has said on the stage something that you find is onerous or is against what you just said, or it's just completely off, you can rebut them. But the rebuttal will only be 1 minute per debater. Remember, we have 8 people on stage and we have only a 2-hour time slot on national primetime television.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically how the debate is going to run in terms of time limit. We will also have a period where the debaters will also be able to present a final statement. That'll be like their last question, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's important. The other rule that we have, and you know this is probably from watching the U.S. debates, we also have a rule that says you cannot interrupt any debater. And we're going to have a system where we can actually mute you, mute your mic, if you engage in an unlawful debating, meaning if you interrupt another debater during their 2 minutes slotted time. Time is key in this debate because of commercial breaks and because of the amount of people that are debating. So we're going to really stick to the 2 minute rule, the 1 minute rule for the rebuttal, and definitely the rule that says you cannot interrupt another debater.
Absolutely. Okay. So who is going to debate each other? Are we going to have debates where constituency debates where the top candidates or the qualifying candidates in each constituency get to engage each other on a series of questions, or are we going on a topic-themed debate?
It's a thematic debate as we have it organized, at least these first four. So the way we're looking at it, I'll run through the four. The first one is a youth debate, which is May 4th, and that one is focusing on youth issues. So we're looking at things like the brain drain. Why is it that we have so many intelligent young Bahamians that go off to universities abroad and never return, right? How do we stem the tide?
Because they don't fly Bahamas Air. Bahamas Air always gets you back here.
Right. Another idea on the youth issue would be looking at the proliferation of gang violence, particularly topical since we know what happened last week, right?
Yeah.
Another topic would be looking at decriminalization or legalization of marijuana and also the high incidence of youth incarceration in the Bahamas. So that's the first debate. And so we're not looking at particularly constituency level persons coming to that debate. We're looking at parties choosing their best person to speak on youth issues.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The second debate is also thematic, and it's going to be looking at the economy. How do we diversify the economy? How do we move away from the Stafford Sands model of economic development, putting all your eggs in one basket? You know, mm-hmm. The goose that laid the golden egg is our tourism industry, which is our life support. How do we diversify the economy so that family islands aren't marginalized? So family island development is key to that as well. So those are sort of the arguments and the questions that might come up in that second debate. The third debate is going to be on health and the environment, and indeed on Earth Day. This is an important one because we're looking at the crisis of global warming and rising water levels. We're looking at how small island sustainability works. In an environment in which the Caribbean is always threatened by hurricanes and natural disasters. We're looking at health. How are we dealing with the pandemic? What's the plan moving forward after this third wave? Is there a plan? What about vaccination? Should it be mandatory? Can employers actually impose those kind of regulations on their employees? Those are the questions that you'd see in the third debate. The last debate, which is going to be on June 15th, is looking at law, constitutional reform and labor. So there we're looking at things from, should we be a republic? Should we sign on to WTO? What happened to the Freedom of Information Act? So, you know, there's a lot of things that you could, of course, add to any one of those four debates. But generally, those are the thematic debates, as I've suggested.
Awesome. Absolutely. And the fact that UB is partnering with Eyewitness News and Verizon to host a series of debates doesn't mean that this is the only debate series that's allowed to happen, right?
I mean, like, it doesn't mean that, but we definitely want to have a brand that we're going to enhance moving forward. We did this in 2017 on a smaller scale, as I've already articulated,
mm-hmm.
but we definitely want to continue this brand. And I will hope that in the future, you know, we would have eventually, as a country, matured to the point where we have an independent debate commission,
mm-hmm.
Much like I am looking forward to seeing an independent boundaries commission. Maybe I'm just a pie in the sky kind of guy, but that's what I would like to see.
Listen, it would inform so many other processes, right? And help to mm-hmm. to give them shape. That's awesome. But you know, I also see this brand, right, as a model that other organizations and groups can mm-hmm. use, right, to create other debate series. Or, you know, because for me, I love the idea of a thematic series. I understand mm-hmm. it. I also want to see constituency-level discourse, right?
Yes.
But it is a national-level series. Mm-hmm. One question here from the audience. What about debate questions fielded electronically? Could you go over that just one more time?
Yeah, we're going to have focus groups where questions will be fielded. We're also going to take questions from Facebook and other social media platforms. So yeah, we're definitely entertaining as many different angles, so to speak, that you could get an audience to generate a question to us. And then we just have to have a platform likely Zoom, but it could be another platform where you could have those questions fielded to the moderators, Clint and I, and then from there we pitch them to the debaters on the stage. So yeah, definitely we're going to use social media, live streaming, definitely. And we're looking at trying to get questions, the audience generated questions fielded as effectively and efficiently as possible.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So Dr. Curry, I've got one more text. Somebody says they would like to participate in the bodily autonomy and vaccine debate. Well, you know, I think I think what this points out is that people are constantly looking for ways to engage the not just the political process, but the process of governance, right? And I would say to them that the current political culture suggests that you can only engage when the politicians say it is okay to engage, right? Or when they invite you to the table, or when they make a way. But the same way that UB has decided to organize this debate series, you see, in 2017, they didn't wait for the leaders of the party to give 1,000% consent approval and say they were going to. They didn't even wait for them to show up. They just kept moving when the leaders didn't show up to those particular debates. Right. We have a right to engage this process. And this all this is us making it easier for those who want to be in governance to do what they ought to do, right? Like, right. We are helping them out by creating a space for them to articulate their platforms, their perspective agendas to us, so we could make a decision about who we're going to elect. For me, I'm very focused on centering the voter and the citizen in this process.
Agreed.
I was very concerned about some of, I wouldn't even call it rhetoric, right? Some of the language I'm hearing from third party parties and politicians in particular about a desire or a right to claim their space, right? And the political environment. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to them, those third parties, be careful you are perpetuating the same political culture you say you come here to do away with. Right? This thing don't belong to you. You don't have a right to govern. We have a right to be informed about the decisions we make on who we're going to choose to govern us. That's where you sit in the process, politician. For me, I'm all about centering the voter in this conversation.
Let me quickly say one last thing
before
I go, Aaron. It's very important that we appreciate the role that the university plays as a neutral site. Mm-hmm. And a space that encourages diverse and divergent and robust thinking, critical thinking, on things that make for the common good. You know what I mean? And then I also want to add that we see this as an organic process. It's not just exclusively the eight on the stage, that when we have these focus groups, you're going to have a eyewitness news reporter who's going to be from time to time interviewing and talking to the people in the focus group, getting their views, getting their questions, and engaging them. So we definitely don't want people to think that, you know, if you got a spot on the stage, you set. I mean, and then of course, this isn't even leading into the election itself. This is a precursor run up to the election. This is getting our country excited about things to come. And that's why I want everyone to tune in and definitely be part of the process.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Curry. One last word, one last sentence for World Earth Day.
Let's give back to Green Earth. This is our planet. This is our space. And we have the best air quality apparently in the world. So we should be proud of that. But let's not rest on our laurels. We have to continue to think green.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Curry. It was my pleasure making you play hockey today and not going to school and not going to work and hanging out with me on the airwaves. But I know you've got to get back to the Small Island Sustainability Earth Day Research Program, which is a series of short films and panel discussions on World Earth Day and the impact of us humans on this planet.
Yes, thank you so much, Aaron. I really appreciate it. Take care.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Arlington, getting ready to roll to a break. Listen, you've been tuned into 96.9 FM. I want to thank you for joining me in this discussion, especially my texters, on the National Public Debate Series. It's upcoming. When we get back from this break, I'm going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to talk what's in the newspapers. You're listening to 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, Bahamas. You're tuned into 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of April, 2021. It is Earth Day. And look at that sweet song, hey? Now, that's my Andrus, right? I know for some of y'all, that's your, that's the best kept secret is Inagua. For some of y'all, that's your Exuma. For some of y'all, that's your Ragged Island, your Long Key, right? Your Berry Islands. For some of us, it's just Rose Island. That's as far as we get, right? For some of us, it's just Nassau. It's just New Providence. This our rock, but we love it. But I tell you, oh, my Andrus, she wake, she wake. When the ecological giant called Andrus wake, I hope our imaginations could handle it. Oh, I hope so. So, we're talking what's in the newspapers, and if you want to join this conversation, normally streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or you could download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC, standard text rates apply. Or you can call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Now, I know that we're experiencing some technical difficulties on the internet and on the online platforms. I also got a texter here that said, your app is down and your online stream and Facebook is down. And I will say, my personal stream is down today. My guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson, couldn't make it in today, and I sort of was relying on him to set up the feed today. I am so sorry, but we're definitely going to have it, my Facebook feed back up tomorrow, and they are working on the details. I got another text here from the earlier conversation. Good morning, Aaron. It seems as if the debate is focusing on government issues. Shouldn't this debate be focusing on issues relative from a constituency level? And then it goes on to say, by excluding the independents, they're doing these debates a huge disservice. Well, so I am also interested in what a debate series or debates that focus on constituency debates, right? Like the candidates in each constituency engaging each other. That would be interesting, but a thematic debate doesn't necessarily preclude or ignore constituency level issues. And so what I would say to the audience is, this is for you now, right? Like, this is your space. When you listen to these responses, you're going to take the time to determine whether the speaker or the candidate has the capacity, right, to see the national level issues and the constituency level issues, whether they're able to articulate them, whether they're able to articulate a distinction between them, the issue at a national level and the issue at a constituency level, right? And so, I got some critique from my show with Ms. Nelda Fox, the first ratified candidate from the BDM for Fort Charlotte, right? And some people told me, boy, you was dead smooth and easy. Man, Aaron, we thought you was selling lotion in The Guardian that day, right? And I said to them, look, first of all, I invite the woman on the show, so I ain't gonna be super, super hard on them. It's not like she is a politician yet. She's just trying to get there, right? But secondly, I don't need to be super hard, right? Like, I don't need to be tooth and nail and fighting her for you, the audience, to be able to make a critical read of her platform and of her ability to articulate her platform. See, everything don't have to look like war for it to be war. And I'm not saying that that was war, right? Everything don't have to look like a police interrogation to be a police interrogation. It's not just what they say, it's your ability to read what they're saying, right? And so before Dr. Chris Curry left for his engagement, I wanted to say, Dr. Curry, is UB going to offer us a class on how to read politicians? Right? Because that's part of what we need to do on our side, is to learn how to read politicians. Now, for the independent debate thing, here's the thing, Tex, I brought that up. This is a thematic debate restricted by COVID protocols and limitation of space, right? But this is not the only debate series, right? They don't own copyright on debate series. And so what I suggested is that other people who are interested should use the UB model, right, to model out other types of debate series. We need all the talking that we could get around these subjects. Another text here says, are you guys having issues on Guardian Talk Online website? Keeps going out. Yes, I think we are having issues. Please don't be frustrated. Tune in where you can. Get the radio on. If you got your cell phone, put your headphones in, turn the radio on your cell phone. You could keep using your phone, except for the phone call part and listening to voice notes. But otherwise, you could keep using your phone. If you're driving, it's the perfect time to put your phone down, put in the headphones, turn it on the radio app. That's the phone's radio app, and tune into 96.9 FM. Arlington, I see we got a call on the line. I would love to go to this call before I start to address the statements by the Prime Minister in the paper. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How you do?
I'm fine. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. Listen, you know what I'm going to do for Earth Day today?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go take my hose and water my soursop tree. Because soursop love water. And I love soursop.
Oh, you need to bring me some of that. I love soursop.
Yeah, look here. It's a Bahamian thing.
Buying from you if you're selling them.
Shh. I can let you know when I know that they're available in the market, and I'll direct you to who's selling them. Don't watch nothing.
Yeah, just inbox me on Facebook.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. In the news today, I'm happy that I understand it. another politician, I'll agree for the debate. That'd be so powerful.
Oh, yeah. And I think the tables have turned. I think they realize that this is a matter of, you know, get on the train or get left behind.
Well, I would initiate it. It's a bright idea. It's coming on one of the other media. I don't know if you want me to call their name, but the other media, they're hosting it.
Well, yeah, I see them other by them. But, you know, I think UB is the brainchild of it.
Yeah, the UB. Yeah. It's in conjunction with the UB. And I'm happy that UB is leading the way, too.
Oh, yeah. They This is their role, right? This is their duty in the country.
Do you remember the very, very first debate?
Is that the 2017 ones, or was there one in 2012?
You got it. It could be 2017 one. You know what it was?
I remember going to them at UB.
It was, I'm talking about the leader debate.
Oh, it was, I think.
Tommy Turner.
Right.
And Perry Christie.
Right.
They offered them advice and told me not to debate Perry. I think that was, it was good, but.
Was that the 2012?
I think that's 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012, yeah.
I think so, because that's when Tommy would have taken over the party, right?
Yeah.
Or being prepared to.
It might be early 2000. I can't remember the date. I think it's 2012. It could be early 2000. When did they go to the party? You could Google it right there.
Well, I mean, let's not use the word take over the party. That would suggest far more power than I think he actually had. However, right?
Well, that was a mix-up, totally. How I would write it, because I'm a writer, but journalist. It was a jackal way of doing it when he took over.
It's, boy, look here, that we don't even need cable here. You see all these stories we have? We have lone entertainment.
Yeah, right.
The suspense.
We had little cable. Cable just came in the early 90s. So late 90s, so we had cable.
So listen, what do you think about, let me ask you this question, and it's the thing. What do you think about the Prime Minister's statement or response to the... it's not even a response. This PM outlines vaccine perks, right?
Uh-huh.
What do you think about this? I am perturbed. I am. In fact, I was so grateful that I had a guest on so I wouldn't have to sink right into this. I am perturbed about this. Let me tell you why. Where is the vaccine rollout plan? See, first of all, how could you be discussing perks and you haven't presented to us a fully completed plan?
Right.
Right? No, not just that. Juxtapose that to the fact that you started off this conversation by telling people that they were just perpetuating and spreading fake news by suggesting that things like restrictions based on whether you're vaccinated or not. Right? Like, you told people they was just pushing fake news when they raised those concerns. And fast forward, we haven't even seen a vaccine rule. We haven't even seen a vaccine policy, a vaccine protocol, a vaccine plan. And you already talking about vaccine perks.
No, we haven't seen none of that. And
but also,
who should we blame in this, though? Should we blame the prime minister? Should be in the medical. It's a medical association advising him.
Well, that's look here, Pumpkin Eater. I'm glad you asked that question
because they are going
down a different road.
I'm sure the prime minister always say he's getting his advice from his medical
but
associate.
That's what That's what he said.
That's what he said.
But then we see those statements followed up by statements from medical professionals that suggest otherwise, right?
Well, who came out and said,
the Senior Consulting Physicians Association, the Nurses Union.
But all of them are not direct advisors to the Prime Minister, though.
No, you're right. They're not direct advisors to the Prime
Minister.
You're
talking about a direct one who he had one who left Dr. Forbes. He's part of the disease area. You had Dr. Brennan who left
let's not worry about those.
No, I'm saying, what's his advice?
Apparently the COVID vaccine committee. But look, I got another caller on the line, and then I wanted to apologize to you because I'm sort of pulling you down a road that you may not have been prepared to go down this morning. Don't follow me down this road.
No, that's not my road before I go on. That's my opinion. That's punk and either always opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and if you see answer, you might don't like the way it answered. Anybody the way to, I describe to it. But the question is there. People who think like me are saying the same, that describing to the same thing.
Yeah. And it's so for me, it's not a matter of who we should blame. For me, it's a matter of where do we start first to fix what is obviously a problem. But I got
If you want to start, just start first.
Yeah, but I got another call on the line.
Advises.
Yeah, whoever is advising him, and find out what that advice is.
Because if he's blaming, he's a medical thing that I'm always advised. He says in Parliament all the time, in Washington Parliament, I'm always advised by medical.
That's right. Yeah. Look here, I got another call. I got to go to this other caller. Thank you for that. We just let him use his own words. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good day, Aaron.
Hey, good day. How you doing?
Thank God for life. For choosing a good morning to your listeners all over the world, and you produce so.
Yes, thank you.
Ms. Green, you know, this is the blind one, Papa.
Yes, sir.
All right. Ms. Green, you know, I enjoy listening to you and Pumpkin.
Yeah.
And it caused me to remember, every time I hear your Venterisa, I wouldn't know if to say it gave you the opportunity or the chance to sit in for her and the host of the show. Me, Pumpkin, Papa Pumpkin and Bannister, we didn't do you too bad, right? I used to enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, no, y'all didn't do me too bad at all. And in fact, you know, y'all used to say, look, this is the game. It's like, Pumpkin, you decide to come in the game. We all equal in this game.
Yeah, and Aaron, although I couldn't see, Pumpkin and LeVon always used to be there. You know LeVon Pass, right?
Yeah.
He always used to tell me how pretty your eyes is.
Ah, oh, boy.
Yeah, in spite of everything. And I said, how they see the pretty eyes, and I guess they see the intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the intelligent here, the intelligent too. You're a very smart lady.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hear you talk about your bachelor's and your degrees before and stuff like that.
No, you ain't hear me talk about them. You hear me talk about how I ain't got no bachelor's.
You ain't get no master's and stuff?
No. Let me tell you what I have. I have a couple little A-level in math and physics and computer science.
Some of us don't have that. You smart, Aaron. You sound like you've been in university. I listen to you good. You're in good company right there at the Guardian. The Guardian should feel good to have someone like you.
Thank you.
If I had a radio station, I'd want you there too.
But I tell you what it is. I spend plenty of time at UB and at COB and around people who I think I have sense, pulling from them.
Hey, when you come from smart people, I respect the PS and all of that. I respect them people. They're older than us. You come from good people. And I think you set a good example for the other rest of young ladies and young people in the country. And I appreciate knowing of you and being a part of the Bahamas where people like you is. But Aaron, you ask a question, but would you want the Prime Minister to do or something like that with this COVID thing? Listen, you know what I was saying yesterday when I hear the news, because I didn't listen to Parliament to hear him say it live.
Mm-hmm.
You know this thing where they're talking about legalizing or decriminalizing the use of marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
I want to suggest the Cabinet, you all keep the vaccine for your friends, family, and lovers, and give us the marijuana. Give us the marijuana. You know, that was a little bit like a joke, but they're
serious.
Yeah, but listen, if they're serious and they want to help us, right, with incentive and all of this craziness, come on, man, this COVID test where people got to travel to go to, either to travel to the islands or to go to their work. I know some of the employers, them carrying the cost, and they should. I want to encourage them to continue it. It should not be the poor people who are doing it. If the government won't give us something, allow the people who have to take the COVID test or taking the COVID test to get it for free. The government carry the cost.
That's right. And the people,
you won't give us the vaccine. How come the vaccine free for us and you want charges to have the COVID test? What kind of foolishness is this? What about this vaccine? They make that for free. They made the COVID test and free, but you won't kill us $100 and something, and then the people them getting are breaking the law and trying to lie about the COVID test and these innocent. I won't know if say they innocent, but these poor people them who go into jail and stuff. But man, we got to do something about this. I know you got to respect the stuff, but God, these poor people. Come on, man, be considerate. Make the COVID test them free, not a lower price, free. And if you won't give us something, us the mile, give us legalize the marijuana, and you and your friends and your family and lovers them. You all take the vaccine. Keep up the good work, Aaron.
Thank you, Papa. Well, listen, the last thing you said just now is a critique on the allocation of national and natural resources, right? Like, y'all like to hog up all the nice things for yourself. Why are you so willing to share this thing now, right? The second or prior point is one of the larger points, one of the things that people have expressed most concern about. People are not opposed to a travel visa. People are not opposed to documenting their test status, right? And their health status in terms of COVID for them traveling back and forth to the family islands. People understand why you would want to document their movement. They don't have a problem with that. They got a problem with the fact that it costs so much money. So I know of an elderly husband and wife, right, who could not get to New Providence from the family island to go to the doctor after losing sensation in their legs because they could afford the ticket. Nobody told them that they had to have a COVID test and the type of test that they had to have before getting on the plane. So they had already bought the ticket and they didn't have the test and they couldn't get the test in time. And they still can't feel their legs and they don't know what to do. And they're so frustrated, they're tired of thinking about it. And they're in so much pain, they're tired of thinking about it. And when you call the numbers don't work all the time. And when you're trying to apply for the visa, the thing tell you you can't apply. But you applied with this email address the last time. Now you need a new email address to apply, right? The people don't have a problem with the procedures necessary to protect other people or themselves or vulnerable communities even. They have a problem with the unnecessary back and forth and run around the systems that don't work because they weren't tested. The systems that don't work because the people are not working them. The systems that don't work because nobody realized that somebody has to be available 24/7 to answer the phone. People are frustrated because the government insists that they perform, that citizens perform at a moment's notice while the government refuses to shore up and fix the systems that the people rely on for their survival, to follow the very rules you want them to follow. That's why people are frustrated. People are frustrated because you can't just jump up and say, oh, if you take the vaccine, you could go into Junkanoo Shack, hey? First of all, competent authority, you sound like a teenager. You sound like a teenager. And I know because I used to be a teenager. I used to be that teenager. When you know you ain't doing the right thing and you don't know how to get away with it, you don't know how to speak to the adults clearly and calmly and convey the message. You have us in here like the adult realizing that there's just something not quite right with this story. And it is 99% possible, 99% chance that there's no malfeasance or skullduggery going on at all. It's just the regular old incompetence that y'all think is sufficient for this paycheck you get every month. There is no way you could spin from telling us that talks about a vaccine passport are fake news and conspiracy theories and people and the best one, political mischief. But in today's paper, you're saying that people who are fully vaccinated could travel and gather in groups more freely, may not need to take the test. See, here's the second part of this situation. You see, and let me rearticulate the first part. The first part is you were talking about things that would be in a vaccine passport, like a health travel visa, because they're essentially the same thing, right? But you're talking about these things without actually having a conversation with us about the implementation of these things. And let me tell you how I know. See, because I don't know much. I could be honest with you. My name is Erin Green, and I don't know much, but I do know this. I know that when a gentleman by the name of Michael Scott can allow the media to quote him saying, well, if they, quote, and I quote, open quotation, well, if they feel that strongly about it, someone should sue me. But you know that's not likely to happen because it's just a case of people you know running their mouths. And as far as I'm concerned, what I'm doing is in the public interest, protecting the public. Close quotation, Michael Scott, QC. First of all, Mr. Scott is an agent of the state. So when he's saying, as far as I'm concerned, what information did you have, do you have access to that we don't? Why is it that you feel that you could make these statements about your staff taking vaccines? It's almost as if you, as an agent of the state, are aware that the state has a vaccine protocol or program outlined, and they are getting ready to implement it. But at what point in time will the Bahamian people be allowed to be a part of this discussion? And I can be honest with you all, I am so glad that I am out of time. I am so glad that I am out of time. See, because here's the last thing I want to say before I get to my Earth Day note. You cannot prioritize vaccinated people over unvaccinated people. This is a human rights issue. This is a legal issue. You cannot prioritize them, and you cannot unduly or irrevocably disadvantage unvaccinated people over vaccinated people. And you certainly cannot do it without national discourse. And don't think because you got up in the House and said that you may have to do some unconstitutional things and the other people around you didn't get up immediately and carry you out of the House into Rawson Square where that unconstitutional foolishness belongs, it doesn't mean that we don't see what's wrong here. I am not saying that vaccinations are bad. I am not saying that you shouldn't take a vaccination, this particular vaccination. What I am saying is that you cannot roll out a vaccination program of this nature without engaging the citizenry. You are not in charge of this ship in the way that you think you are. And I think it is most appropriate to make this statement on World Earth Day, because on this day, we are called to re-examine our relationship with the planet that we live on and all of the things in it, including the way we govern ourselves and the planet. Anyway, like I said, I am so happy to be out of time today, and you may never, ever hear me say that again. This has been a most wonderful World Earth Day, and it has not finished yet. So after you finish, you turn down the radio and say, boy, I don't know what Erin Green was running on with today. Go water a tree. Go water your favorite fruit tree. Go look at it and talk to it and love it. Because if you don't take care of the tree, how are you going to get the fruit? Have a great day, Bahamas. Have a great World Earth Day. You're listening to 96.9 FM, and that means Lee Van Miller and Unleashed is up next.
Realizations, history of the night.